9 o'clock on the East Coast, and you know what that time is. It's time for the Cool Down Lap, the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports. I'm Greg Dreiss, your host. You can pick up the Cool Down Lap live on Twitch every Monday night at 9 o'clock, where it will stay for about 2 weeks before they throw it off to save server farm space. But we don't disappear. We also go to YouTube with the video and audio, as well as Spotify with the audio and video. And it's also on, where else are we? Google Podcast, Amazon Podcast, TuneIn Podcast, and very shortly we'll be merged over to SXM, SiriusXM, as Stitcher is gone. So just Google the Cool Down Lap or the Sim Racing Podcast with Greg Dreiss, and you can find us there. Last week was our 50th episode of doing these podcasts, and I got to tell you, it is a lot of fun. But it's not me that does the show, it's the guests. I just provide the platform, and the guests talk about ratings. Speaking of guests, tonight we have, from the Midwest Motorsports Road Series, driver number 24, Steve Hansel. He is the Road Series points administrator, and also number 21, Justin Glockner. He's the Road Series rule administrator, and he was going to read the entire rule book, but some of us have to go to bed and get up tomorrow morning, so we won't be doing that. So without further ado, let's introduce and welcome everybody, Justin Thaler, Justin Glockner, and Steve Hansel. Welcome to the Cool Down Lab. Good evening, guys.
Good evening, Greg. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Jumped in on the race. The oval race last night at Talladega, and by the time I got out of the chair after 2.5 hours, I was ready to go to bed, because that was a tough race. It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of crashing and banging, and as I said, my luck usually with racing is I'll start in the middle of the pack, I'll get up front for a while, and then something will happen, I'll end up in the back, and that's what happened last night with the two black flags for excessive incidents. Only four, I think maybe six of the 20 incidents I had were my fault, but I still ended up finishing in eighth, so I was pretty happy with that. So, Justin, you were racing last night, weren't you?
I was not, actually. I was up. I decided just to not take part, to watch the New York Jets in prime time try and take down the Kansas City Chiefs. So
now, as we were talking before, you tuned in so you could see Taylor Swift.
I don't know about that, man. If that's the narrative you want to push, I'll play along. No, I wanted to. I mean, I haven't touched the Cup car since the our last chase race.
Yeah.
But you know, I've been a New York Jets fan my entire life.
And same here.
I have to support them. So
yeah,
they played a good game. Just couldn't get it done.
It's very hard to be a New York sports fan with the Jets and the Mets.
I'm in
the same boat. So, Steve, tell me a little bit about your involvement with Midwest Motorsports. I think you've been with the Road Series for quite a while, as we were talking earlier, correct?
Yeah, it's been about a year and a few months. Yeah, started off, I think it was the very first Road Series we did, touring car racing. Did that, enjoyed it. Really clean racing, a lot of fun. After that, rolled into GT3 and GT4, and then I think it was during that point that I just kind of reached out to Justin, was asking about some endurance racing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started talking about jumping on board to do some management for the point side of things, and I've been doing that ever since.
So tell me about your role. What do you do as a points administrator? What's involved with that?
Yeah, so during the season, so after each race, just get the results, get everything punched into SimRacer Hub, share that out with the league, and make sure everyone's aware, their posts up to date, and whatnot. Kind of the easier part. Before the season, though, this most recent season made a big change to Pro-Am.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a classification split there. And so we put a lot of thought, put our heads together and thought a lot about how to make this work, make sure that everyone had a reason to race, to keep coming back each week and feel competitive. So, yeah, put a lot of thought down, how to build up the classification of drivers, who goes into which class, the point structure breakdown, bonus points, and all that. So, yeah, that's kind of it.
Cool. I see that there's a difference in points between AMs and pros. What's the rationale behind that, and how does that work?
Yeah, so basically, yeah, there's a difference between pro and AM as far as the finish positions go. And so we have three different championships. We've got our pro driver championship, our AM championship, and then a total road series championship. So it works is obviously all pro drivers are placed against each other, and the points break down one through 20 and beyond. Same for AM. You earn your points that way. But then the road series championship is a combination of both pro and AM into a single championship standing.
Mm-hmm.
And so why it's different is just to think about for a few reasons. Future thinking, this is going to be a great way for us to determine with the overall championship, how do we promote our AM drivers to pro for next season? So what makes a pro driver consistent? Very few incidents, they finish the races. So if you're an AM driver and you're consistent, you'll consistently earn top points, and you'll find yourself in the standings around other pro drivers. Next season, when we start to do divisions classification for next season, it'll be pretty obvious who's gonna step up into that pro division.
So, does it matter where you finish in standings at the end of the season, or how much does consistency and clean driving play in versus points?
Well, they go hand in hand. So, with the pro drivers, we have a pretty decent idea of who's our top drivers are there, and it's pretty consistent all the way down. But for the AM side of things, a lot can happen. We've already had quite a few different battles in that division. But we're seeing already, I think we're 4 weeks in now, 5 weeks in, and we're starting to see those drivers who are already at the top of the overall standings just from being consistent, earning bonus points, doing well in sprint races, not having incidents, just being consistent. And they're actually beating some drivers who are in pro division who maybe are pushing a little too hard, getting caught up, not finishing races. Yeah.
So on the pro side, let's say the end of the season, you've already got a pretty full roster of drivers. Is there a maximum number of amateurs that can be promoted? What's your maximum a car count on the pro side?
Yeah, we don't have one at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have a discussion about that probably in a few weeks, just kind of like quarter season analysis, see how things are shaping up, kind of maybe try to predict how this is going to play out.
Sure.
How many we think might finish in the top 15 overall. Just kind of analyze it then and kind of do it maybe again at the halfway point and just kind of see how it's going to play out.
Got it. I was watching, it was a rerun of the early season for the Fanatec Challenge, and there was 55 cars running at Monza in one race and across seven different categories or divisions, and it was crazy seeing all those cars at the starting line. So
yeah, I want that. Yeah, the hardest thing will be, we're not going to ever try and cap the number of drivers that would be in any of our series. So the hardest thing, like Steve said, we'll have to try and predict and determine is out of the current drivers that we have, you know, if we don't grow by X amount of drivers, then how do you, you know, basically overload one class,
right?
And so forth. So you don't, I mean, you don't want it too overbalanced with one versus the other. Like right now, we're in almost like an even 50-50 split, which is which is great. And like you said, you know, with those AM drivers who are doing very well, being consistent, it really shakes up more or less. It impacts the overall standing much greater than, you know, just the AM and the pro split.
Got it. Any possibility of a pro driver being sent down to the minors?
I think it's possible. So this was our first season with the pro AM split. Had to make some hard decisions as to where to make that split. So our criteria was our top 10 drivers from our previous F3 season would automatically be pro drivers.
Got it.
Our second criteria there was kind of an IPL instance per lap, where kind of just assessed the overall season and the drivers from the season of F3. I think we picked like 0.4 IPL, and any driver at that or exceeded that would be placed in AM.
Got it.
And our third criteria was an I rating split. So we did was we kind of waited closer to the beginning of the GT4 season, logged all of our drivers' I ratings, found the median number there, I think it was about 1560, somewhere in that range. And everyone over that was placed into pro. Everyone beneath that was placed into AM. And I think for the most part, well, one thing that got us, like, just happened to give us an exact split of even drivers for both divisions. But secondly, I think we're pretty competitive for the most part across pro and AM with those three criteria. Yeah, I mean, I rating's not obviously not a great sole factor for that. So if you're an open wheel driver, you may not be as comfortable in a GT car. So maybe your I rating is a bit too high compared to where it should be. So we'll do something similar for next season, but we'll have more data this time to work from.
Got it. Justin Glockner, tell me about your role as rules admin, when you got involved, and what the role entails.
Yeah, so I started, I guess actually the first season of Oval, we started with the legacy trucks, and I kind of got pulled into it. I've never ran an oval race, and there's still some chatter among the admins about my first race at Phoenix, but we won't get into that here.
You totally should.
We'll just say I took it kind of like a road course and dove up the inside, and I'll just leave it at that. but I've learned a lot, and yeah, I've been here since kind of the beginning. And you know, took a break while the Oval Series didn't really fit for me. And then once we started up road, kind of, you know, became the points at or the road, the rules admin, and been hanging out ever since. And you know, really with the rules, we have kind of our general code of conduct, things like that. And the rules have really grown as the league's grown. So we've learned a lot of things through the past five seasons. Yeah. And really just been building on that.
Cool. And any major rules changes other than separating pros from AMs when you went to the two divisions this year?
Not too much, just little things along the way. You know, really as we've seen things happen within the league, as well as recommendations from others within the league. Luckily for the Pro-Am class, Steve did most of the work, so I just kind of had to throw it into the rule book.
Cool. And why do you like road courses better than oval?
I don't know. You know, I got into iRacing really right when the first season of trucks started here, and I just kind of built my rig, but I always growing up, I've always just kind of paid more attention to road racing.
Sure.
And didn't know much about oval. So I've learned a lot, and actually was the regular season champ in the truck series this year. So that's a big step for me. Yeah.
Cool. What's your favorite road series, and who's your favorite driver?
I follow a lot of F1, and I'm a big Lando Norris fan. So
cool. You ever been to an F1 race?
Nope. I hope to at some point, but
we were considering going to, again, when it was up in Montreal. There's a British gentleman that lives in my town. He's always asking me about iRacing. He goes, what is this iRacing that you do? And I say, well, it's mostly oval. And he says, you ever do road? I said, I love road, but I really suck at it. But I really do enjoy road. So I just spend most of my time on the oval. And he says, just going around in circles? I go, no, we turn left, just like the F1 drivers do. But it's just, that's the only way we turn. And he was just enamored by it. And every time we'd meet him at the local pub during the winter, he'd say, how many races you doing this week? Well, he knows I don't work during the winter. So I'm like, well, I usually do about between 5 and 10 on a cold winter day. And he mentioned that F1 was coming to Montreal and said that he was definitely going and was asking about if I was going. My son wanted to go because it's so close. So we found out the price of tickets, just the cheapest tickets to basically stand in the men's room during the race, I think were like $900. So we put that on hold for a little while.
Yeah, for sure. And I've heard Montreal is one of the more affordable ones.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, that's a bucket list kind of thing for me at this point. Yeah. But
I guess a lot of people were complaining about the prices of not just the tickets, but refreshments and stuff at Miami this year. I was reading that a Caesar salad for four people was like $300. And it was just insane what they were charging for food and stuff. This Wagyu beef sandwich, which was maybe about the size of half a hot dog, and it was on a plain white piece of bread, was $49. So somebody made a lot of money down there.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
those prices sometimes seem par for the course for Miami, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can get away with it down there.
So, yeah. Hey, if you like road, you're interested, I know where you might be able to find some weekly races, but we can chat later about that.
Okay. Oh, yeah, someplace called Midwest Motorsports, but unfortunately, Tuesday night is my regular podcast night. I just picked up another league, Rolling Thunder Motorsports, so I'm doing their podcast tomorrow night, and then I switched my regular sim racing podcast when I do that to Thursday night. James is going to be my guest on Thursday nights. Getting kind of busy with that end there.
No, I'm just messing with you.
No, I would love to just have to massage things around there. So Justin Glockner, how long have you been on iRacing?
I think it's been about 3 years.
Seems there's a lot of COVID babies on iRacing, aren't there?
Yeah, and I hate to admit it, but that's kind of how when I got into F1 and things like that, the whole Drive to Survive binge watching.
Yeah.
But,
what type of racing did you watch before COVID?
Not a whole lot. You know, I always enjoyed it, but I never watched it. I went to a few races here and there. Mm-hmm. But again, I like road racing, and never really knew where to go to watch that. And you know, NASCAR is on every weekend, and I knew that, but it never interested me. I never understood it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Justin Thaler's got me into the oval, I've been learning. You know, now I understand what's going on. They're not just turning left. There's a lot more to it. So I'm enjoying a little bit of that as well.
Got it. What do you find different in a strategy for road racing versus oval?
You know, with oval, it's a lot about tires. and you know, when to take them, when not to take them, just things I never knew you really had to deal with. And then fuel's always in there, but yeah, it seems like tire, you know, managing tires and really just understanding that is a big key to ovals.
So how do you manage tires and fuel different in a road course versus oval?
With road, I guess it depends on what you're running. Mm-hmm. But it seems like with road, especially, you know, we do a few endurance races here and it's more about fuel than anything. And especially, you know, depending on the car, but F3 wasn't one of my stronger suits and I find myself overheating my tires and really burning through them a little more than I would have liked to. So that was a big learning lesson for me as well.
Any difference in getting into a different type of rhythm on road versus oval?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, oval is really figured out, you know, to me it's you know, what line to take, and then you got to know when to push and when to conserve your tires. Mm-hmm. With road, it's more about just getting into a rhythm and making sure you can, you know, hit a corner the same every time.
In road, you make it or break it in the corners, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yep. That's, anybody can drive fast on a straightaway, even me in an open wheel, but the corners, forget it.
Yeah.
Probably my best road course on iRacing is Lime Rock. It's not a difficult course. And also I work over there a couple weekends during the summer on their big season, so I can actually get out there and walk around the track, and sometimes they let me drive my truck on it. So that's where I'm best. But everywhere else, like Watkins Glen, I don't know what it is about Watkins Glen. It's not that difficult a track, but there's just a couple technical sections in it that once you're off your rhythm, at least I find, if I run off the track or into the gravel, it's just so hard to get back in the vibe and pick up where you were when you were hitting all those corners halfway decent.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Lime Rock. Actually, that was my first win in the rookie Mazdas, so I'll always have a special place for that. But yeah, I've always loved that track. I know not a lot of people do, but to me, it's a good fun track.
It is, and the end of the month is when we're having our year-end wrap-up meeting over there for the group I work with, and it's also the Saturday when they're having MiataCon. It's a Mazda weekend, the Mazdas and the Miatas, and that's all they're going to be running over there the whole weekend. It's going to be a blast. I think they got three different categories and 3 days of racing, so it should be a lot of fun if it's not too cold.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, because that track was built for Mazdas and Miatas.
Absolutely.
Great. So where are we racing in road tomorrow, and what are you guys looking forward to?
We are going to Spa, probably the top three track for me. So, it's going to be fun. It's the first all night race on the schedule. So probably be some low track temps, so hopefully be fast, but thank God we have headlights on these cars. So it shouldn't be too bad, but
yeah.
I mean, I still find even when you know a track pretty well, when the sun goes down, it doesn't matter. It turns into another complete animal. So yeah, we're going to Spa, so that'll be a fun one. It's just a regular 1 hour race, no sprint, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, when you run your endurance races, how long are they?
Well, we don't run any league ones here. There's a select group of guys here that are a part basically of the Midwest Motorsports quote endurance team. So we try and just run you know, as many of the officials as we can. I really enjoyed doing the team racing. I think everybody here does. Steve's our graveyard shift guy. He likes to do like the 2 to 4 a.m. stints, which I think everybody else is not going to argue or try and take from him.
That's cool.
It's true. But, it's where Justin won't talk to me.
I don't know if we've really ever said it, but
we've kicked it around, maybe doing like a monthly type, you know, maybe a 2-3 hour team race.
Well, that would be fun.
It would. It'd be, you know, if we could, if we know we could get, say, 25, 30 teams, you know, I'd for sure pull the trigger and try and do something like that. But, you know, if we're only going to end up getting, you know, 10 teams, you know, I think it'd be kind of rough just to kind of battle for hours just for, you know, not a lot of cars on track. But maybe there's a way we can fill it with AI drivers as well to make it a little more interesting. But
I love AI.
When we have our off weeks, we always try and do some goofy stuff. Last season, we did the Daytona. I think it was like the Moto, one of the shortest layouts at Daytona of the road courses. But we did a race where it was the Pro 2 trucks and the Miata. So I was like, I'm definitely driving one of the Pro 2 trucks. And you get a Miata beside you and you don't even know where the hell they are. And it was just so much fun.
It sounds like fun.
I want to do like 1 week, I think, where everybody's off on Oval. I would like to do a whole league between the Road Series and any of the guys in our Oval Series. I want to do like a Miata at Martinsville for the entire league. I think that would be a lot of fun, just something crazy. You know,
somebody else that my son Sam works with, they did like a 24-hour race, and it was endurance, and it was 24 hours at Martinsville. And it drove everybody that was driving absolutely insane.
Yeah, so
that sounds awful to me.
that's worse than a weekend in Cleveland.
But yeah, you're not wrong, probably. But you know, I'd like to do more where we can maybe kind of intertwine all the road and the Oval guys. Just to, I mean, we have our crossovers. We have quite a few guys in the Road Series who race as Oval as well, but. With the latest update, you can get more car models on track now. So might be something we can do at like maybe a Roval that has anybody drive, you know, a truck driver driving one of the trucks, a cup driver driving a cup car, Xfinity, and then maybe sprinkle in some GT4s in there, I think would be pretty fun.
That sounds like, it sounds like a good mixture to do at a rallycross track.
I'm all about the chaos. It doesn't bother me at all.
I did one last year, just like it, because it was like, again, it was the middle of winter, and we called it the roller derby. The damage was off, and it was modifieds, and I think it was at Lanier, and on dirt, and it was like a 40-minute race, no rules whatsoever, and it was insane just watching everybody crash, and everybody said they had such a good time. I think the prize money was like $75 for the top three split somehow. And it was so much fun to watch. It was crazy because it was, like I said, there was no damage, no yellow flags. Last.
Yeah, our off weeks are just, you know, something to do. Mm-hmm. You know, the points are, you don't get anything special for winning. It's just, it's just something fun. You can just hoon around and have a good time. So we try and be creative when we can.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, we tried to take the summers off in the Joe Sixpack League, and everybody just wanted to keep racing. So I said, go ahead, throw something up. I'm taking a while off. And it's good because it keeps everybody interested, and it's good for morale. Steve, do you race in the Road Series?
In the Road Series?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
What's your favorite track or favorite Road Series drive?
Favorite track. So we were at Nürburgring Grand Prix strike last week. It's probably one of my favorites. And then I'm a GT driver, so like GT4 and GT3.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite live track in real life?
Live track. Probably gonna have to go with Indianapolis since that's my home track.
Ah, cool. What do you like about that?
It's historic. It's a beautiful track. The facility is amazing. You know, we get all kinds of series out here. It's just it's a great time.
And what's your strategy for tomorrow night's race?
tomorrow night's race, don't get bored by how boring Spa is.
Wow.
See? Shot across the bow there.
That's you're not tough. Making any friends.
I tell him every time, man, like, what's wrong with Spa? I don't like it.
That can actually be the biggest detriment to your night if you don't like the track you're driving on.
Yeah, Justin scheduled a night race, I'd fall asleep for sure.
Now, is this a night race tomorrow night, or does it start at sunset and then get dark so you can go through the track changes?
If I remember how I set it up, I'm pretty sure it's like all night.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be fun.
Now, when if you've ever set up like an evening race that goes into Sunday, do you ever use the time multiplier so it make the time go by faster, or just stick with as it normally?
We have in the past, if we need, you know, if we want to start it where it's kind of like late afternoon, but then, you know, really to change the dynamic of the race, make it, you know, force it to go tonight, we did. Mm-hmm. I think the one race we did was maybe GT3s at Sebring, if I recall right.
Wow, okay.
It went dark real quick.
Yep.
So
somebody on the chat line here, Mexican, M-E-K-K.
Oh, that's Max Bauer.
Oh, okay.
He was actually our pro winner from last week's race of the Nürburgring.
Well, he is asking, wow, how is Spa boring?
See, I told you, man, you're not making any friends, Steve.
See, when you drive as slow as I do there, it's put you to sleep.
Okay. Well, we'll have to watch the race tomorrow night and see if somebody's just bluffing here or it actually is a track summit.
Well, if something really bad happens to him, we might be talking to him. He doesn't usually hold up too well. If you start getting chatty while he's racing, he doesn't like that.
Yeah, I can't talk and drive.
If he's like a second and a half up ahead of me for position, I try and strike up conversation any way that I can, because likely I'll catch him.
See, this is why I do the night shift for endurance racing, because Justin falls asleep.
Oh, and Steve, whereabouts are you?
Indianapolis.
You do know that most of the time when Americans do endurance, the night shift is for people over in like Ireland, don't you?
That's true, but I don't think we have any.
Yeah, we have
one British guy, right?
He's hit or miss anymore. He tries to make as much as he can, but his work schedule, he works like midnight, so he's usually snoozing around the time we need him.
Yeah, Ben saved us in the Daytona 24.
Oh yeah, he came in big for us. We needed him.
Wow, that's cool. Okay, so let's take a look at the winners from this week in the pro division. Max Bauer. And in the amateur division, Sam Hubbard, away with the victories last week. Can anybody tell me about those two drivers? What do you think it was that propelled them to the finish, if you remember watching, or anything that happened that, or did they lead the whole time?
So it was a sprint and a feature. For Max, I mean, he's really fast. He's quick, very consistent throughout the entire length of the race. So that's a big player for him. He really knows pit strategy really well. You know, completely understands, you know, if he can get out of traffic, pit early or pit late, depending on what the situation ahead or behind is. You know, he takes full advantage of that. Sam is one of our, he's new for this season and just wicked consistent. You know, he's in our AM class, but I think I've had to battle him for overall position every week so far. So he's quick too. Quick and consistent. So Steve said way earlier, it's just about, you know, the AM drivers, they can really start to snowball those points if they're finishing races and just staying clean and competitive.
Cool. So
Yeah, I think Max had was like one of the last laps of the race, and my crew or my pit crew chief came over and let me know that he had run the fastest lap of the race, and it was
wow,
you know, a good 3 seconds faster than I've ever ran. So he's pretty quick.
Do you guys use just the iRacing spotter, or do you have anybody spotting for you, like live person?
No, I just use the crew chief app, the third party download. So I've changed quite a few settings in there, especially for like oval. I basically I reduced the message to clear for a position just by a little bit of a distance, and then the frequency of when the spotter will tell you, you know, if there's a car left or right. I pretty much have it yelling at me until I'm actually clear. So sometimes it's really good. Yep. But when you're on a short track and you're like battling for like tons of laps, she's just yelling the whole time. But I've heard they've made a lot of changes, and the new actual iRacing one is a lot better now.
It is better. Yeah. Like, for instance, at the start of the race, they tell you what the strength of field is, and they let you know what the leader just did on his last lap, and when someone sets a new fast lap speed race.
Wow.
Justin Glockner and Steve, which pit crews or pit chief do you use for your spotters?
Yeah, I use crew chief. That's all I've ever used.
Yep.
But I hear the iRacing, you know, the built-ins getting pretty good, and I'm real interested in the damage reporting. So I was kind of hoping that would come to crew chief, but I might have to try out the regular iRacing.
Yeah, what do you like about crew chief?
Like I said, it's kind of all I've ever used, but you know, being able to go and customize a lot of things. He yells at me a lot, and
I love that.
That can be all right.
I think
there's a lot of times I yell back. So
yep. Isn't there one of the iRacing spotters that like, or is it crew chief where you can it'll call you a dumbass or something like that?
Oh yeah, you turn the foul language on. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah,
it'll cuss at you.
There's also a way. I know my brother runs it to where it's TJ Majors spotting for you through crew chief. But I don't know how you do it, but it's all TJ and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Any of you three guys use button boxes? And if you do, which ones do you use?
No. Not yet.
Yeah, someday.
Yeah, I'm still rocking the Place Heat Challenge, so I don't have room for any of that.
Oh, okay. I use one. I was looking at one of like the fancy electronic ones. I just got off of Amazon. It's just a little keypad or a little keyboard just with the numbers on it. Kind of like the one that's all the way on the right-hand side of your regular PC keyboard. And it's just got that on it. And I punched everything that I need to do. It works great. It was like $15. And when I'm, you know, an admin in a race, I can throw flags and, tires and set different fuel strategies and turn them on and off. So that works for me. But I've seen some of the electronic ones that are just like totally amazing.
Yeah, I have one on my list of you know, in my wish list, but haven't had to pull the trigger on it yet. So eventually, I think, you know, one could be very handy at some point. So
yeah. Beats scrolling through the black box to change your fuel or your tires.
Oh, yeah.
That's when I hit, I usually take somebody out. So I'm like, ooh, I can't do that anymore because I can barely walk and chew gum at the same time.
Right, so I'm in VR, so it's a real challenge for me just to try and find my mouse to kind of do those things. But I haven't had too many bad instances so far.
So what do you see when you're in VR besides the track? Do you see anything that's normally on the board? Like if you're doing iRacing just on a single screen, like the black box and relative and stuff like that, what do you see?
Yeah, so you still see all of that, and you can move it around within VR. And I guess you kind of think of it as that, you know, you just have an unlimited screen.
Okay. So
So the
one of the cool things is, you know, a lot of the cars, you can actually see like your feet move when you hit the pedals and gear shift and things like that. But
that's cool.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that really got me when, you know, I always hated having, when I was on a single screen, I hated having the steering wheel on the screen. So I always disabled it. And when I got into VR, it really, I had to turn it back on because it was kind of disorienting. Like you were turning, but nothing was happening in front of you.
Oh, and I get that. Makes sense. Yeah. I still had the, steering wheel on the screen, but what I did is I took the hands off, you know, the gloves that were on the wheel.
Yeah.
Cause that kind of drove me crazy, but I just like having something reassuring about making sure that both wheels are facing the right direction, you know, where that little stripe is facing up.
I find yeah, there. For sure.
So when you got into VR, did you get car sick the first time like some people do?
No, it never bothered me. I think I got my VR and I had done maybe a race or two, and then we did like an endurance race. I forget which one it exactly was, mm-hmm. but I was in it for like 3 hours.
Oh wow!
And I was like, well, I guess I don't have any issues with it. So,
what's it like when you go airborne in the car and you're flipping over?
Luckily, it hasn't happened. maybe once or twice, okay. But yeah, I imagine it could. Cause people some problems, but like I said, nothing, it doesn't bother me too much as long as you okay. realize you're not in a real car, right?
Yeah, that's true. Now some of the VRs when they first came out, when you put those glasses on, it's like looking through a screen on a window. How long did it take to get over that, or do you even have that screen in front of you? It looks like you're looking through like a storm window.
I never really noticed it. I mean, I have the Oculus like Quest 2, mm-hmm. and it's nothing crazy. And for the price, you know, it's the price of one monitor. So going to triples didn't make sense.
And oh, really? Really? Well, that's a good deal.
Really man. Didn't have the room, but yeah, it was, you know, for the price, I really couldn't beat it. The other thing it does get to me is some of the longer races, just, you know, you don't have the ability to easily reach and grab a drink or things like
that's
that.
True.
So the longer I've had it, you know, that kind of thing starts bothering me, which is a little thing.
Yeah.
I will say I think it made me quicker just because I was able to, you know, some of the real things I noticed was like Laguna Beach going through some of the turns, right? And you can get real close to a wall or things that on a single monitor I have no idea where that wall was, but
when
you're in VR you can really see that.
Yeah, so it's much better immersion.
Yeah, for sure. And it comes at price, but
yeah. Okay. You made a good point that it's now the price of a single monitor versus triple, so have an advantage there.
Yeah, for sure. And I also didn't, don't have a whole lot of space. So again, with my play seat and all that, I have it kind of sitting next to my, my desk, and there's no monitor in front of my rig, which is kind of weird at first, but it works out well for me.
Cool. Any issues with getting used to the weight of those things after a while, or they got a lot smaller?
I wouldn't say it's an issue. Every now and then, my PC really heats up the room that I'm in.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll take my contacts out and put my glasses on, and your glasses will fog up. So that bothers me a little bit.
Got it.
But the weight never really bothered me. I would like to upgrade to a little better head strap, but it's been good overall.
And I guess, does it require more computing power or whatever you want to call it there, a processor or whatever it is?
I don't. So the only thing I've ever really used is iRacing. Yeah. And I have a 3080 Ti, like a pretty good graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just iRacing in general, it's more CPU based. So I upgraded my CPU, and that helped me the most. So I guess it kind of depends, but the way the Oculus is, I think it's a pretty good package all around.
That's what I hear.
Doesn't take a whole lot of computing power, and iRacing in general, I don't think does. But I've never tried it with anything else other than kind of the built-in games that my kid likes to play. So,
okay, all right, let's go take a look at points for this week after week four. Gonna check out the amateur series first. So the Justin Glockner, 4 starts, 4 races, 1 win. You got 680 points. Followed by Sam Hubbard in P2 at 637, David Wortman at 585, Aaron Holroyd at 400, and Taylor Montague at 392. So how do you plan Justin Glockner on staying ahead of the crowd there? Looks like that could change pretty quick.
Yeah, so Sam, I think he joined like a race in, and he's fast. I had some troubles this past week at the Nürburgring. I started on pole for the feature, and had a little bit of issues very early on. Got a little bit of contact and got kind of punted back. But I kind of learned from the truck series this past season. It's just consistency. Try and stay as far up as I can, and whatever happens, happens. But
cool. All right, let's take a look at the week four in the pro points. Johan De Roy is in first place with 901, followed by Jay McNeely in P2 at 876. Max Bauer at 858 is in P3. Jason Phillips 6 at 772. And Justin Thaler is in P5 with 620. Justin, how are you going to catch up to the leaders there?
No idea.
That's an honest answer.
I'm just going to try and be as fast as possible and run my own race, not worry about it.
That's all you can do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, battle when I can and see what happens, let the cards play out.
Yeah, that sounds like that's what my plans are for the Cup Series. If there's like 25 cars on the track, I will normally qualify somewhere in the middle. And if I finish top 10, I count that almost as a win. And if I finish in the top 5, I cheated and got away with it. That's how I feel. But it's just fun to be out there on the track a couple times with everybody. Take a look ahead. What's coming up? You guys are at the Spa tomorrow. And when is the next, our sprints? When is the next sprint followed by the feature? When's that coming up next?
Let me pull up the hidden schedule here that I have. So after Spa, we have Suzuka. And then the next sprint race is going to be Road Atlanta on November 7th. So trying to sprinkle them in here and there, where they might be pretty either fun or really shake the track up a little bit, add a little more excitement to that week. Sure. So then we don't have another one until January 16th at Brands Hatch, which is that'll be week 18, so pretty far towards the end of the season. We have another one.
Okay, and explain the format to me of how the sprint works before the main feature. Do you something about flipping the field for the top finishers?
Yep. Yeah, so we do a 10-minute quali we normally would, and all of our qualifying opens or sessions are open, so it can be hit or miss, so you got to really get out on track when you think the best moment is and getting some clean air and be able to run run your lap without getting caught up with something, because in quali nobody has the right of way. So it's all about getting out there as quick as possible. So the quali in a sprint week will set the grid for the sprint race.
Okay.
And then after the sprint race, the top 10 finishers, they all get inverted. So
Obviously, if you won the sprint race, you go back and you start P10 for the feature, and so on and so forth. We used to do a complete flip of the grid, which some drivers didn't have a problem with it. Some guys voiced their opinion, and we took that into consideration. So for this series, we put up to a vote and to only invert the top 10 won. So we gave the league what they asked for, and it's still shaking out pretty well. But it all comes down to kind of managing traffic. And, you know, if you get caught up in that top 10, I mean, it's great because you're scoring points for the sprint race, because only the top 10 will also score points in the sprint. But, yeah, it's something interesting, something fun to do. So, and then we, you know, from that, it rolls right into the 1 hour race. So,
That was my next question. So it's still a full 1 hour race, so it's a little bit longer evening.
Yeah, so we tried not to make it too much longer. So basically we cut the open practice from, we usually had a 10-minute practice, and then we cut that actually down to like 5 minutes, basically to let everybody get loaded into the session. So pretty much you might get a minute and a half, but you're really not going to get any type of practice laps in.
Right.
But you know, before you go into quali, so we tried to, you know, not extend the night, you know, overwhelming amount when we do the sprint races.
Sure. Well, that's pretty much a wrap up for tonight, guys. Want to thank everybody as usual, and lots of great information. So thank you, Justin Glockner, Justin Thaler, and Steve Hansel for coming out tonight, and good luck tomorrow. We'll see you guys on the Cup Series on Sunday night in a week or two, I guess.
Yeah, right on. We're glad to have you, and it'll be interesting with Daytona kicking off all of our Oval Series. It always is, but it should be fun. I'm excited to get back into Oval as well, and we'll see what happens. It'll be a fun season.
Thanks for having us, Greg.
Hey, you're welcome. Yep. Thanks. A lot of good information, guys. I appreciate it. And that's the cool down lap. What is it? It is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports every Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern time, where we talk racing. And pretty soon we'll be really filled up once we go back to all four series, Truck, Xfinity, Cup, and road courses. We'll have as many of the winners as we can encourage to come on the show each week. Otherwise, we'll just talk racing. We'll be doing the reviews of each series each week, give the points for each one, and let everybody know what's coming up in the following week. Hey, I want to recommend Track Racer again. They have an affiliate deal with Midwest Motorsports. If you're looking for sim racing gear, go on to Track Racer. Make sure you grab whatever code that's out there and type that in when you check out, and then Midwest Motorsports gets a small commission for the purchase that you make, and you're supporting your league and getting some really good sim racing stuff. Costs a lot of money to put on leagues, even if you're not paying for broadcasting and a bunch like that. There's just also a lot of time involved as well. So a Track Racer for supporting the league and also getting some great equipment. Want to let you know what the Sim Racing Podcast is up to. Tomorrow night we start a brand new podcast series for Rolling Thunder Racing Series. That'll be tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I mentioned early that every once in a while I like to promote some races and just throw some money races out there. We're going to be starting that again in November. And Sim Racing Podcast presents the Turkey Run. Free entry, $150 in prize money. It's next-gen fixed set at Kansas. 125 laps, IR rating 750 to 2500. License A to C, maximum incident points 16th, and that will be Friday night before Thanksgiving. So more information coming up on that will be under hosted. If that goes well, we'll be doing that maybe once every 8 weeks during the winter. For the cool down lap in Midwest Motorsports, I'm your host, Greg Dreis. And if you're just tuning in late and you want to see the rest of the show, just go right to Twitch, twitch.tv/Greg Dreis, or tomorrow you can pick it up on YouTube, as well as Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, TuneIn, Radio app, and pretty soon Sirius XM and just about all the other majors. Thank you very much for tuning in or listening in. Another great show with a bunch of great guys, and I'm so happy to be with Midwest Motorsports and joining the Cup Series.